in the vault gallery of the Fayetteville Underground. Remember, this is a former bank complex. Hang the paintings of studio artist Matthew Depper. Post-apocalyptic yet fun portraits of large bugs and bots. A seeming critique of an emerging circa 1950s industrial complex. Turquoise monsters in the form of a water tank, nuclear cooling tower, and natural gas compression station threaten. An alien invasion wreaks havoc on black urban landscapes. Mutant humanoid aquatic cephalopods stare from the canvas. Megan Chapman's a studio artist at the Fayetteville Underground and is on the Artist Advisory Committee. She says Depper's work is really playful.
He's got these wonderful creatures that keep evolving in his work, marching through his work. We've got some dark industrial themes on his rounded wood panels, which really make them unique and make them stand out. Then we've got some nice matted and framed pieces. His exhibition is actually called Your Face Here, and there's actually an interactive part of his exhibition where he is encouraging viewers to come in, stick their face in a little bug holding an airplane, and they can even take their little iPhone pictures with it. So this month, take pictures in Matthew Depper's exhibition.
Matthew Depper's a trained graphic designer and a manager at Arcega's in Fayetteville. In the East Street Craft Gallery, artist Sherry Bond has transformed traditional stained glass into dramatic three-dimensional mixed-media sculpture.
And I had worked previously with stained glass for about 10 years and then moved here, and the tree roots completely inspired me. Had an epiphany one day to incorporate the two.
Bond's attached zinc-stained glass wings to varnished hickory, walnut, and oak-gnarled tree roots, creating fantastic butterflies, swans, dragons, even a soaring pileated woodpecker. Her woods near Crosses in Madison County, where she lives with her husband and children, provide the raw root materials, which she collects and studies for months before building the sculpture.
You know, I have to look at the root and see what it wants to be and totally, you know, create around its design qualities. And I just saw a woodpecker with it and the little feet, and I'm getting in more into the mobiles, and I just love it. I had it hanging in my kitchen, and my children just loved it, and my husband didn't want me to bring it out here, but I'm like, you know, I got to try to make a living at it. So, but yeah, it's really, it just looked just like one, and I knew it's what it wanted to be, and you do one wing, and you see how you're going to fix it, and they just, you know, change as you see one thing in your head, and then you try to bring it to life, and it always evolves differently, but I'm very happy with it. Yeah, I'm excited for everybody to see it.
The woodpecker's varnished head is slightly turned, as if searching the woods for grubs, its wooden feet and tail feathers twisted in flight. A wonderful piece. Nearby, a stained green glass turtle crawls, its wooden neck straining for a look. Across the way in the Hive Gallery are digital photographic prints by Stuart Bremner from Edinburgh, Scotland, produced with boyhood friend Craig Munro from Birmingham, England. Munro's a medical doctor and Bremner's a graphic newspaper and magazine artist, but both are expert and obsessive photographers. And for this exhibition, they conjured up a unique collaboration.
And what we've done is we've created a body of work that is made up of double exposed film. The process we used is we have these inexpensive plastic cameras. They shoot medium format film, which is larger than regular film. And what we would do is, each of us in our own cities, we would take rolls of film, take the photos on the rolls of film. We would then wind the film back into itself and then send the film to the partner in the other city, who would then put the film through his camera and then reshoot it. So the photos are actually true double exposures in that they're both on the film. We had no idea what was on the film we were sending to each other. We had one single guideline, and that was keep the horizon approximately a third of the way from the top of the frame. But when you receive the film, you shoot your pictures upside down. So that way, one city is up the way, another city is down the way. So you get this strange crossover section in the center where the buildings seem to float over each other, and you have sky below and above.
These digital reproductions of analog film prints are collectively titled Iteration Span. Double exposed photographs are often contrived, but these collaborative images feature impossible architecture and strained atmospheres. Among the titles are Strict Machine, Slip Inside the House, and Bremner's favorite, a fiery orange end of days image titled The Thing That Should Not Be.
What we see here is the top half of the image shows a part of Birmingham. Birmingham's got a lot of concrete. It's a city that was heavily destroyed during the Second World War. After that, a lot of the city centre was rebuilt in concrete, so it's very hard edges. There's not a lot of history there, a very brutal architecture. Whereas Edinburgh is a lot more, it wasn't affected in the same way, so it's been preserved. There's a lot of older buildings that date back to the 17th century, for example. So there's a lot of old stuff there. So the idea was that the Birmingham half would be very hard, concrete, new, and the Edinburgh part would be much more organic and old. And so here we've got the top half of the photo is very straight-edged Birmingham, and also it's darker. The red, the sort of flat red sky indicates that it was cloudy. The bottom half of the picture, which is the Edinburgh part, is those are tenement buildings near where I stay. So those are kind of apartment blocks that were built in the beginning of the 1900s. And there's some trees that upside down look almost like roots. They're very strange, almost kind of slightly menacing.
Most are in black and white, but some were shot in red scale film, color film turned upside down, filtering out blues and greens. None of the images are manipulated. One image in particular, Stranger on the Shore, was a psychic encounter.
What we've actually got here is both my street and my friend Craig's street. The image is perfectly balanced between the two images. This is the top half is Edinburgh, that's looking up at the building I live in. The bottom half is the street where Craig stays, and the two images are perfectly balanced. And that's entirely random chance, but it's came out absolutely perfectly. We couldn't actually have planned that shot better.
Across the atrium, the windows in the large revolver gallery have been masked off with brown craft paper. Inside are stacks of things, tires, cardboard boxes, dull blue couch cushions. A folding table and chairs pushed against the wall. A jacket hangs on a peg. All are two-dimensional stacked oil on canvas paintings to scale by Kevin Arnold, adjunct art faculty at UA Fort Smith.
They're chosen because of their utilitarian background, and they're the kind of mundane objects that we wouldn't pay attention to normally, and we wouldn't expect to see paintings of these objects. And so by installing them, there's a way, the way they're installed is there's a physical relationship between the viewer and the painting. So when you come in, and rather than encountering as a painting first, you encounter it as an object, then it becomes a painting later.
True. A used twin bed mattress, rumpled and stained, is so realistic, you just have to touch the quilted surface to see. And the pile of tires next to it are original etchings, hand-printed on rag paper. Artists constantly objectify, but Arnold draws your attention to something more profound.
The objects now have become the figures that were originally in the paintings. So I've stripped away all narrative. If there is a narrative, it's implied through the use of the objects or the hints of evidence contained in the objects, where it's the wrinkles or the scuffs and scars that just go along with, you know, everyday use that happens.
Kevin Arnold writes that this unsentimental depiction of unnoticed mass-produced objects question our sense of the familiar. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.